Janka, this is Vincent Irene from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. How long have you been in the New Orleans area, the Algiers area?
A month and a half, I guess.
And you've been working with Common Grounds Release?
Yes.
And Relief?
Common Ground Relief. That's commongroundrelief.org if you want to look at our website.
And one of the people who is working with you is Malik?
Yeah, well, Malik Rahim is the person who started Common Ground. He's a local New Orleans activist and started basically helping people right after the hurricane, trying to do search and rescue missions, trying to bring people food and supplies, and it just sort of organically grew out of that and out of a call-out he made to people to volunteer there from different parts of the country. So people came there, started a clinic, started a distribution center, and that's been the main thing that the Common Ground has done in post Katrina New Orleans.
So did were people being asked to leave there even though it was not a flood area like the New Orleans proper?
Oh yeah, I mean all of Orleans Parish was under mandatory evacuation, and that included Algiers and other areas that weren't flooded. And of course, you know, looking back on it now, the way that it was gone about, the whole evacuation was really, really bogus and horrible and impossible for people to get out, but particularly that people were evacuating areas that didn't necessarily have to be evacuated. And so then it was under military occupation for about a month, and finally got out from under the military occupation when the curfew was lifted just a couple of weeks ago. But the curfew is still on the east side of New Orleans across the river.
Did people resist being forced to leave? I heard that that area did not get hit as bad. What happened when people resisted leaving their homes?
Well, for example, in one place, the Fisher Project, which is a housing project in Algiers, of Section 8 housing, pretty infamous for just complete neglect from the federal government, the state government, the city government, completely neglected and abandoned people even before the hurricane. In any case, on about the 12th or the 13th of September, which is almost 2 weeks after the hurricane, people had been told they had to leave that area, they had to leave the Fisher Project, and of course, people had nowhere to go, and there were still people living in the Fisher Project who had been there the whole time. And so that whole apartment buildings were actually surrounded by federal agents from the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And by the end of the night, one person lay dead in the Fisher Housing Project. And the body, of course, lay there for a couple weeks more. But that was just one example of how people were treated if they didn't leave. And across the river, people who didn't leave were even, had guns pointed at them on a daily basis. And people who were doing search and rescue missions, people who were out with their boats trying to rescue people, had guns pointed at them by soldiers, by federal agents, and by New Orleans police on an almost daily basis. These were people who were just trying to help. So at every step of the way, the federal government has hindered and obstructed people's efforts to try and help one another. I can tell you just a little bit about our experience at Common Ground. Of course, we have been serving at least 100 people a day with the health clinic, and then at the distribution center at least that many. So thousands and thousands of people have gotten aid from common ground. We also have put tarps on people's roofs who didn't get tarps, even though FEMA, of course, promised tarps, people whose roofs were damaged. We have done debris removal. We cleared every storm drain in Algiers, which, the city government did not do. And that, of course, helped in preventing flooding during Hurricane Rita. And we have been assisting people in various ways. Most recently, people who have been forced to be evicted from their homes. So we've been helping them fight back against these evictions that are now taking place on a massive scale. But just to give you an idea, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, in the area, has been recommending people to go to Common Ground Relief. It's really incredible that this huge federal agency with billions of dollars to spend on disaster relief is sending people to an organization that has no money and only volunteers. It's a tiny organization, but yet we're helping people, and the local people in FEMA know it, and they know that they can't help people, so they send people to us. Red Cross, the same. Red Cross has been sending people to Common Ground for various things just because they can't help them. And they feel a lot of times like their hands are tied by the bureaucracy that they work for. So we're ending up getting recommendations of people to help from these organizations that it's their job and that they have been given billions of dollars to be able to do, which is really, really crazy and upside down. But at the same time, it makes sense because people helping people is it works. Whereas the FEMA model and the Red Cross model, based on a very rigid bureaucracy, is not working in this case, which is a crisis and an emergency. I mean, FEMA has literally space for thousands of people in their tents that are set up right on the edge of New Orleans. In Algiers, they have what's called the FEMA base camp. It's set up, they're air-conditioned, they have banks and banks and banks of shower facilities and toilet facilities, and laundry facilities, but yet the tents are sitting there empty, and there are only a couple of hundred people in them, and they have room for, I would say, 5,000 people there.
Oh, my goodness.
But yet they won't let people camp there or go into their tents. It's not camping, really. It's cots inside of what is basically a circus tent that is air-conditioned, they're fairly nice, you're protected from the elements, but in any case, they're not letting people who are people who have lost their homes or who are citizens of New Orleans stay there, only FEMA contractors. And the FEMA contractors that I asked about this say, well, we have to stay separate. We have to stay separate from the evacuees. But yet, they are using these resources that could be made available to the people of New Orleans and be extremely useful at this time when people are returning home and trying to repair their homes. I mean, people could be staying in these FEMA tents, but yet they're being closed off, and the FEMA contractors say, well, we have our camp, and then the evacuees, they have a separate camp, but there is no camp for the evacuees. If you go to the FEMA center and you ask for an emergency shelter, they give you a flyer that says, that gives you a phone number of a shelter in Baton Rouge, which is a church, and you call that number and that shelter is full. And Baton Rouge is 2 hours away, and let alone the fact that there's no transportation to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, poor people don't have cars.
Yeah, if you're stuck without emergency shelter, there is nowhere to go. And FEMA's not providing it. The Red Cross has a couple of shelters, but they're, of course, completely full, and no one else is providing it. I mean, we've had people come to us that we've had to drive past Baton Rouge to Lake Charles just to get them into a shelter, an emergency shelter. I mean, wish we could put them up. We're all camping out in a, you know, somebody's yard, and there's not that much room there. But we are able to help people who do need emergency shelter. I mean, we just got a new space in a firehouse, an old firehouse, and so we're able to put up more people there. But we're effective because we don't make that same distinction that the FEMA contractors that I've talked to have made, where they say, we have to stay separate from the evacuees. In fact, Common Ground is a combination of volunteers from around the country and local people and evacuees who have returned to New Orleans. So it's a whole combined effort of people working together, and we don't make a separation. People are people, and we work together, and we respect each other, and are able to get a lot done, unlike FEMA.
So have people been coming in from around the country to volunteer?
Yes.
Yeah, how many people, and where are they from, and what's their backgrounds? What's the usual complexion of your volunteer organization? Are they mostly college students, or?
Well, there's a whole variety of people who are coming to volunteer with Common Ground. From the Veterans for Peace had some people come down, and the Rainbow family, we've been working with them. We have people from Malcolm X Grassroots Project we've been working with, and there are just recently this past week a group of 20 college students came from Oberlin College in Ohio, and they've been extremely helpful. They're just staying for a couple of weeks, but they've been going around doing a lot of debris removal, doing a lot of helping in the Ninth Ward of New Orleans, where there is no disaster relief except for Common Ground, which we just set up there in the Ninth Ward a couple of weeks ago. But our relief center there is right now the only relief center in the Ninth Ward of New Orleans. And we're hoping to set up a clinic there. Right now, our clinic folks go out once a week to that center, so that people who need checkups, who need vaccinations, are able to come on that particular day to the medical clinic. But we're hoping to have something more permanent. We also have a legal clinic that just started this past week, where we have lawyers who are available for people to come and get some of their legal questions addressed, whether it's landlord-tenant issues or property or insurance claims issues, family issues. There are any number of issues that have come up after the hurricane, and in particular right now, the landlord-tenant issues are extremely divisive because landlords are trying to evict people on a large scale right now.
For what reason?
Well, there was an emergency freeze on evictions that lasted until October 25th that was put in place by Governor Kathleen Blanco. When that lifted, there was a rush on evictions by landlords. Some of them are using the excuse that they need to repair the homes and they need to do mold abatement, but in most of the cases, the leases allow for that kind of repair to be done without breaking the lease, without evicting the tenant. But they're using this as an excuse to go ahead and evict poor tenants because the property values in most areas have gone way up because there's now a concerted effort and a plan to push out poor people and to bring in it's gentrification on a very rapid and very concentrated scale that I haven't seen before in any city. It's basically since this hurricane happened and the city, you know, was abandoned for the most part under forced evacuation. Let's use this opportunity, say the developers, to keep the poor people out, raise up the property values, put in condos and keep the poor people out. So now the homes that are getting repaired are being are not going to be affordable for people of modest incomes. And in fact, right now there is no place for a person with a modest income to find to live in New Orleans. I mean, it's just out of control. I mean, the tenant rights in the state of Louisiana were bad enough to begin with before Hurricane Katrina hit. Basically, landlords could kick people out for any reason, give them 5 days' notice, and then if the person appealed, they'd have three days after that from the time of their hearing, and then they'd have to get their stuff out. So in most states where you'd have 30 days, in Louisiana you would have a maximum of 8. And now it's even worse because the evictions are going ahead at a massive scale, and many people are not there. Many renters are in emergency shelters elsewhere or are in alternative housing elsewhere that may run out very soon, but they're unable to get back to their homes in New Orleans to even know that their landlord is evicting them.
What happens?
Ground zero for evictions in this country right now.
What happens when they challenge it legally?
Well, when they challenge it legally, it goes to the court, and in Jefferson Parish, it's a justice of the peace, and in Orleans Parish, it is a judge that hears the case, and we're actually going to court on Wednesday with some tenants from Lewisburg Square. In Tarrytown, in Jefferson Parish, that have been fighting their eviction, and so this is a test case of what will the justice of the peace rule. Although we've been told by the tenants that this particular justice of the peace plays golf with the boyfriend of their manager, so there may be some conflict of interest there, or some particular interest that justice of the peace has. I mean, it's an extremely corrupt system, and there's nobody saying that it's not, and it always has been. I mean, it's
The health
Louisiana
board
is infamous for its corruption.
Is the health board evicting people?
No, the health board, as far as I know, is not part of these evictions, and many of these properties that people are being evicted from have not been inspected by a city inspector. Some of the places that have been inspected have been condemned. In a lot of those cases, it's just been given a cursory glance, and then the red notice is put up on the door. And State Representative Charmaine Marchand from the Ninth Ward of New Orleans has said, has made the public statement that many of these homes that are being condemned are actually salvageable and are able to be lived in. She said that she thinks probably half of them, at least, are able to be lived in, but they're going after the homes with the eviction notices and condemning them, but many of the houses that are being evicted, and the households that are being evicted, are not condemned by the city inspector at all.
Yeah. So if somebody was to present evidence that their place has not been condemned officially, that's what they would have, is the fact that nobody's even stopped by. There's nothing on record to say that their place is unsafe or unhealthy.
Right, which is the case in Lewisburg Square, which is the case that we're taking to court on Wednesday. But the interesting thing about Lewisburg Square is that although the residents were told that they had to leave because their apartments were unsafe, which was blatantly false because it did not receive hurricane damage, it was not in a flood zone and didn't receive damage. What the eviction order actually said was that they were being evicted for non-payment of rent, which is a little bit of a trick by the landlord, because the landlord had told each of these tenants, as they went up to pay their September and October rent, that they did not have to pay their September and October rent. And this was the case for dozens of tenants, and each of them independently told the same story, that they had gone to the office, tried to pay their rent, and the management said, no, you don't have to pay for September and October. And now they're turning around and charging them with non-payment of rent.
This is
probably because they know that they won't be able to get away with saying that it's unsafe to live in. So they're trying to find another excuse by which to evict people. I mean, it's, you know, just a one manner of trickery or another in order to get people out of these apartments.
Yeah, it seems like the biggest real estate swindle in history, telling people that, you know, to leave their homes. I mean, where are they, you know, being evicted and stuff like that, then they end up in a situation where they need shelter, and shelter's not really being provided in the area.
I mean, really, it's creating a crisis of homelessness in a city that cannot deal with homeless people right now. Many areas of the city are flood areas, and it's unsafe for people to be out on the streets and lying down in what was a toxic sludge area. I mean, it's really, really just disgusting that right now they're putting people out on the street. After everything that the people of New Orleans have been through, that they would now have to face eviction. It's just a war on the poor. It's a part of this just blatant war on people who haven't got a lot of money. I mean, the stories that I've heard, the people that I've met, there is a family that has 11 people, most of them children. There's 8 children and 3 adults in this house, in this apartment. I mean, it's a tiny apartment, and they're all squeezed in there because it's 2 families together. One of the families had their home damaged. Now they're squeezed in together in this one apartment, and now they're being put out by the landlord of that apartment building, and this family has no place to go. You know, they're Guatemalan immigrant family, working extremely hard, trying to support the children, but at the same time, they don't have the means to pay for an apartment that is twice the cost of the one that they're paying for now, and that's what they're being asked to do, because any apartments that are being made available right now in New Orleans are at least $900 to $1,000, and these people are used to paying $400 or less in rent, and that's all they can afford on the incomes that they have.
So let's say that somebody wanted to come down and help. Who would they contact?
Well, if you go to our website, Common Ground Relief. .org, you can find where it says info for volunteers, and we have health clinic volunteers. If you are a registered nurse, a doctor, or an EMT, we can use your help in our health clinic, because again, we're trying to expand the health clinic. I mentioned the 9th ward. There's also work now being done in East New Orleans, where there's a huge Vietnamese community that has been completely underserved as well by the federal aid agencies, or so-called aid agencies. And in East New Orleans, people have suffered really incredibly from the hurricane, and there's been really one or two churches that have been providing any kind of aid at all. And the Hispanic community, there are just a huge Honduran community in the New Orleans area that has been completely left out of relief and aid, and we're trying to work with that community as well. So we can use anyone who has training as a doctor, as an RN, but we can also use volunteers who want to help in other ways. We're actually having a road trip for relief over the Thanksgiving weekend from November 20th to 27th. But any amount of time that you can give to come down can be useful. If you have experience organizing tenants, if you have experience even in secretarial work, in web design, in building, in carpentry, in electricity, any of these things, those skills can be used.
Jenka, I'm gonna.
If you have time to donate, come on down.
I'm gonna thank you and end this interview now. The prepaid calling card has told me that it's
your call was ended because you no longer have sufficient funds